Good morning. Welcome to the February 12th, 2016 meeting of the San Diego Housing Commission. It is 9:05 a.m. and the meeting is called to order. A couple of simple administrative things, and again, I'm working without a script. Can we believe this? Okay, so anyhow, anyone who wishes to speak on a non-agenda item may do so by filling out a form that looks like this and getting it over to Angie before we get to that section of the meeting. Anyone who wishes to speak on a an agenda item may do so by getting either a gold or a pink form. Gold is speaking in favor of the agenda item. Pink is speaking against the agenda item. I believe the forms are over there in the corner. You fill it out. And we'll again get back over here to Angie. Anyone who wishes to oppose the consent agenda can't do so yet because we haven't announced what we're proposing to do with it. But when that happens, I guess you can raise your hand or jump up and down or otherwise let us know that you'd like to be heard on that issue. That's probably enough administrative announcements for this morning, so we'll just move right on in. So first, we do have a speaker request form submitted for someone who wishes to speak on a non-agenda item. This is Jan. I thought it might be, but your U, I wasn't sure if it was a U or an N. Okay, so Jan Bourgeois. Please step over to the rostrum. There's a button there to turn the mic on. And when you start to speak, please identify yourself and then begin.
Good morning. My name is Jan Bourgeois. I live in the East Village, and I'm very proud of what you have done as far as supportive housing and the various ones. I've been through Alpha Square and, of course, Father Joe Villages, which is a little different. But anyway, I just had a couple comments. I like to walk into Barrio Logan a lot, and I noticed more recently there's several homes that are boarded up, and I don't know if it means they're not habitable, but that's a kind of a mixed area where you do have some private homes next to some apartments. Is there any possibility you could look into purchasing any property over there? Because I think it would be less costly. Another thing is, and this is not under your purview, but the Heritage Hotel, which is next to the Indigo, that had a fire that's been boarded up for years. And it seems like there's a lot of other places within downtown that maybe used to be SROs, but are just left derelict. And I guess it's under property owners, but whether their property taxes could be increased so that they have to do something, because we have an awful lot of that. I know the Arlington Hotel actually looks quite good, but there's some others that are very derelict as far as the SROs. I had a comment on an SRO, single room occupancy. Is it possible to build those where you do not have a bathroom in every one and you have it down the hall? Or is that against code or is considered inhumane? But it would, for a builder, it would be extremely less costly if you simply had to put like a sink or something like that, but put the restrooms down the hall. But again, I don't know if that's legally possible, but it's a way to get additional properties. So, the other thing, of course, is HUD. We're not getting our fair share. I hope everybody is working on that to get that adjusted, because to be fourth and homeless and be 23rd or whatever it is in money is not acceptable. Thank you.
Jen, would you please push the button again? Otherwise, it interferes with all of the microphones. Thank you very much. Just by a short response, and we usually don't respond at all to the public comment, but picking up individual properties is sometimes not productive because they're so time intensive to manage them. We've actually got a few individual properties that we've been trying to figure out how we can put on the market and sell them so that we could be more efficient. But at the same time, we, either staff generated or board generated, do look around town at various properties that might be suitable for a project. And it may be just because of the location of the land, or it may be because of the nature of what's on the property. And so we're always looking for opportunities. And I know that Debbie Ruane, who heads up our real estate division, is very involved with that sort of thing. And at the same time, we're always willing to listen to some of the nonprofit developers in town. That's where a lot of the ideas come from in terms of creating affordable developments, is that the nonprofit has come to us and said, hey, we know where this property is and we might be able to do something. If you would like to talk at greater length with our staff, contact Debbie, and I'm sure she or some of her staff would be more than happy to sit down and give you some additional ideas. And thank you very much for taking the time to be here this morning. That's important, too. We have no other speaker request forms at this time, so we'll just continue. Now we're into commissioner comments. Commissioners, anything to say? Good morning to you, too. Over here? No? I'll introduce something. And we're going to hear about this more, maybe a little bit more today, but definitely in the next month or so. But I had an opportunity to meet with Councilman Scott Sherman, whose district includes Mission Valley, Qualcomm, Allied Gardens, and a lot of those areas in there. And the purpose of our meeting was to talk about a state-imposed limit on the number of affordable units the Housing Commission can own. And that state-imposed limit, we've got some room, we've got some latitude, but from time to time it's important to increase that limit. And the way that that gets done is that it becomes a ballot proposition for the city of San Diego and for the citizens to then decide if they want to increase our capacity or not. So, as I say, we had a discussion on that. It was introductory. I don't know if Mr. Christensen wants to add any comments to the subject matter. Please do so.
I'd be happy to, and Angie's got a little handout here that sort of the section that's in question is Article 34 of the California Constitution, and it basically says that a state public body, which includes cities, counties, state government, housing commission, housing authorities, virtually any type of public agency, cannot develop, construct, or acquire a low-rent housing project. And those are broadly defined as including making loans to those or doing anything that really helps those projects, except if there's been a ballot proposition that approves that type of housing. And the Housing Commission has supported, back in 1972, 76, 81, and 2002, ballot initiatives that were passed that gave a capacity of 10,500 units so we could build that or assist that number of low-rent projects. Of that, about 6,500 have currently been used, so we only have 3,928 unused offered authority. And so the last time we went up there, as I said before, was in 2002, so this is an appropriate time to do it. There are some exceptions under state law that let us get around this requirement every once in a while, but they're not broad. And the trouble is that even if the commission isn't involved in a project, if the state grants money to it, they need the authority and they can't pass that ordinance or have that initiative adopted. So it's important that we do that or we can totally shut down what we're doing in the city of San Diego. So, and I might say the last time it went forward in 2002, it was the ballot initiative, there was no opposition to it at all, and I think it passed by over 70%. So anyway, it seems like this is an important time to do it. Maria's team is working with the city attorney's office to try to push it through that way. It'll be important to get other support to get this passed.
And this is a perfect year for it because it is an election year. There's going to be an election in November whether we have an item on the agenda or not. So the cost to the city, the cost to the taxpayers of the city for putting this measure on is the cost of adding another line item on the ballot. So it's minimal on that. So that's why we're looking at it at this time. Because the next opportunity to do it at such low cost is another 2 years away. So, and who knows what our capacity is going to be, unused capacity is going to be then. So anyhow, as I said, you'll hear more about this. I'm not sure if we'll get it in time for March, but definitely by April, we'll be doing this. Because once we approve of the item, it goes to the Housing Authority, which is also the city council, and they have to approve of it before it actually gets on to the ballot. So that's my commissioner's comment. Next is the report by the president and chief executive officer, Mr. Gentry.
Four very brief items, Mr. Chairman, on the events that have occurred since the last commission board meeting. The first three are having to do with homelessness programs here in the city. On January the 26th, the City Council designated the week of January 24th through the 30th as Homelessness Action Week. And that's because of a number of homelessness actions that occurred that week. A couple of them I'm going to mention to you right now. One was the 10th Project Homeless Connect, which the Housing Commission has been putting on now for, I think, 6 years. And this occurred in downtown San Diego at Golden Hall. This year we set a record on the number of families served. Last year it was in the 1,100 range, 1,150 as I recall. This year we served 1,215 homeless San Diegans with services that range from haircuts to legal advice to dental screenings to medical screenings. It was a well-attended event. We had I think about 300 volunteers there, as I recall, Melissa. And I'll point out that Melissa Peterman and her homelessness group, working under, of course, Jeff and Jeff's supervision, did a wonderful job putting this on, made us look very good again, and also provided a whole lot of help to people who needed it. Melissa, thank you for that, you and your folks. We were not alone as an organization. Other major organizing partners were the City of San Diego, Interfaith Shelter Network, Family Health Centers of San Diego, and Father Joe's Villages. One interesting thing here, and I'm going to throw some credit to our IT people, is Carrie in the room. Hold up your hand. I'm going to brag on you here for a minute. We had real-time, up-to-the-minute information on the computers. And if it impresses me, and I'm the lowest tech person here, it's good stuff. We were real time knowing how many people were in there and divided by a lot of classification data. Excellent stuff. Problem with that, though, Carrie, is you set yourself up for a whole lot of dashboard reports like that to me and also the board going forward. This is good stuff. Give you some numbers. There were 739 men, and what surprised me, 457 women, 182 military veterans, over 1,000 were single, and 92 parents were there with kids. So it's, and almost all of them, 1,113 unemployed. So it is a significant slice of our population, and that was a significant day in their lives. Commissioners Hubbard and Davis were participating in this. Keeley, thank you very much. As well as a number of our employees. Mayor Faulkner served as the honorary chair, and council members Gloria and Kate were also with us there as well. It was a very good event. Also, that same week, in the wee hours of Friday, January the 29th, there were several hundred volunteers, including several members of this board and I, took part in the annual point-in-time count required by the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Again, this occurred on Friday, January the 29th. And let me point out board members who got up and were there with us at 4 in the morning doing the count. Chair Grambling and Commissioners Davis, Moraga, and Cerdy. Thank you all very much. And we had a number of staff also participating in that. Last year's count identified some 8,704 homeless individuals in San Diego County, including some 5,538 in the city. HUD requires this count as a condition for funding. So that was a major event week for homeless services by this agency, and we did very well in there. Jeff and Melissa in particular, thank you for your efforts in that regard. One final item, Mr. Chairman. Last week, the Housing Commission hosted a two-day informational visit from the Ontario Nonprofit Housing Association. Now, that's not Ontario, California. It's Ontario, Canada. And that association in that province represents some 740 member organizations managing some 163,000 nonprofit housing units. I've had a lot of work going back the last 25 years or so in Canada and the UK, working with those folks in their housing programs. Their programs differ from ours by technique, but accomplish much the same things. There were about 35 of them that were here, as I recall. They were particularly interested in our homelessness efforts in San Diego. They make one trip a year, and I can't think of a better place to go in February from Canada than San Diego. It was very well attended. They were very appreciative, very complimentary, including the one delegate who was with them from South Africa. So we're beginning to get a little international attention now. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my comments.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'd like to propose the consent agenda, and that is I'm proposing that items 100 and 101 be moved to the consent agenda. Commissioner Spoon?
Mr. Chairman, I would also like to propose that 102 be moved to the consent agenda. I think the staff report is exceptionally well written. It answers all questions, and I believe we all understand the competitive nature of 9% tax credits. So I believe it should be moved to the consent agenda.
Second.
Was your motion also a motion on the first? All right. Is there any additional discussion of the motion for the consent agenda? I'll make one comment, and that is that I know that representatives of AmCal are here today to have spoken on item 102, and I happen to have ridden up on the elevator with them, and I know that they had a very terrible truck accident on the freeway that slowed them down. So, gentlemen, will you mind if we just go ahead and approve the item without you getting up and speaking? Okay. All right. In that case, I'll call the question. All in favor of the consent agenda as approved, meaning items 100, 101, 102, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The consent agenda is approved. Thank you very much for your diligence. You're welcome to stay. Okay. On the agenda next is the approval of the minutes for January 15, 2016. It was a regular meeting. Commissioners, what is your will? Commissioner Cerdy has moved approval of the minutes of January 15th. Is there a second? Commissioner Hubbard has seconded that motion. Any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye. Opposed? The minutes are approved. We will now call item 103 up to for presentation.
Mr. Chair, before that presentation, there is a slight change to paragraph 2 of the recommendations, and I'd just like to add language that clarifies it. We would like to add the following language: Hotel Metro funds and San Diego Square funds, other than those referenced within recommendation 3 below, to wit $3 million and $4 million, continue to be available for the purposes referenced within the cited resolutions of the City Council, in addition to those purposes set forth in this report. The purpose of that...
Good morning, Chair Gramling, Vice Chair Spoon, Commissioners. My name is Jeff Davis. I'm the Chief Operating Officer, and with me is Melissa Peterman, Director of our Homeless Housing Innovations Department. We want to begin this morning by presenting you with a comprehensive overview of our proposed new collaborative initiative to address veteran homelessness, the 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative. Our presentation will provide you with important context for the actions that we are recommending today. As you know, on November 12, 2014, the San Diego Housing Commission announced our landmark three-year homelessness action plan entitled Housing First San Diego. This collaborative effort applies the power of the Housing Commission's federal, state, and local housing resources toward the goal of addressing homelessness in the city of San Diego and to provide up to 1,500 homeless individuals with housing as quickly as possible and supportive services as needed. We are here today to request funding approvals for the 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative, which is a new initiative for the second year of our Housing First San Diego plan. In the city, between 1,000 and 1,500 homeless individuals are U.S. military veterans, men and women who have served their country but yet do not have a place to call home. With a longstanding commitment to homeless military veterans, the Housing Commission and the city propose to partner on this initiative to provide up to 1,000 homeless veterans the opportunity for housing within the next year. The initiative will invest close to $12.5 million in federal, city, and housing commission resources to provide housing for veterans in the city who are living on the streets or in shelters. San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner first announced the landlord outreach component of this initiative during his State of the City address last month, calling it Housing Our Heroes campaign. So there are four components of this initiative. They are, first of all, that landlord outreach, also known as Housing Our Heroes. The second is rapid rehousing assistance. The third, federal Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing Vouchers. And fourth, federal sponsor-based housing vouchers with supportive services. So now I'll turn it over to Melissa to walk you through the details of the program.
Thank you, Jeff, and good morning. Through the 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative, the Housing Commission proposes to assist 300 chronically homeless veterans who have an honorable discharge and a disabling condition who also need supportive services and qualify for the VASH program, which is administered by the Housing Commission. 100 veterans who are ineligible for VASH but are eligible for the Housing Commission's sponsor-based voucher program, through which veterans will receive rental assistance and supportive services such as case management. And up to 600 additional homeless veterans who will be provided housing opportunities with rapid rehousing assistance. Under this program, homeless veterans need not have an honorable discharge in order to be eligible for assistance. All participants of the 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative will be referred by the Housing Commission's partner agencies or organizations that provide supportive services to homeless San Diegans. As Jeff mentioned, there are four components of the 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative. The first is landlord outreach, known as Housing Our Heroes. Landlords who rent their units to homeless veterans are important partners in this initiative. According to the San Diego County Apartment Association, there is a 2.8% vacancy rate in the city of San Diego. This tight competition for affordable and market rate apartments makes it difficult for homeless veterans to obtain rental housing. In response, the Housing Our Heroes campaign proposes to provide incentives for landlords who rent to homeless veterans in the city, such as incentive payments where landlords will receive $500 for the first apartment they rent to a homeless veteran and $250 for each additional unit. Security deposit and utility assistance totaling an average of $1,500 in security deposits and $100 in utility assistance per household. A landlord contingency fund where resources will be set aside to help landlords cover expenses such as repairs that exceed security deposits upon move out or rent due to unforeseen vacancies. and landlord liaisons hired by the Housing Commission who will provide dedicated support to landlords as well as service providers and homeless veterans. The approximate cost of this program component is $4.4 million and will be funded through a grant from the city resulting from the ground lease of San Diego Square, proceeds from the pending sale of Hotel Metro, HUD VASH voucher administrative fees, and HUD extraordinary administrative fees for VASH. The second component is rapid rehousing assistance. Rapid rehousing places a priority on moving a family or individual experiencing homelessness due to an unexpected life experience, such as job loss or medical crisis, into permanent housing as quickly as possible, ideally within 30 days of a client becoming homeless. Under this program component, rapid rehousing funds will be awarded to nonprofit or for-profit service providers who apply through a competitive notice of funding availability that will be released in March 2016. Funds will support expenses such as rental assistance, upfront move-in costs, supportive services, furniture, move-in kits, and outreach. The cost of this proposed program is $1.9 million and will be funded through proceeds from Hotel Metro and San Diego Square. The third program component is federal VASH vouchers. VASH provides rental assistance to chronically homeless veterans with an honorable discharge and a disability. The Housing Commission partners with the VA San Diego healthcare system to provide these vouchers. The VA identifies veterans who qualify for VASH and provides clinical health and case management services to the recipients. The Housing Commission confirms their eligibility and enrolls them in the VASH voucher program. Through this program component, the Housing Commission will use 300 of its existing VASH vouchers with an estimated value of $2.6 million. Because these are existing vouchers, this item is not part of the actions before you today, but is an important element of the 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative. Before moving to the fourth component, I would like to note that the Housing Commission obtained a waiver from HUD, allowing for a 20% higher rent payment amount with a VASH voucher effective February 1st of this year. This will bring the rent payment amount for a one-bedroom apartment with a VASH voucher up from $1,074 a month to $1,288 a month, subject to rent reasonableness. And with the fourth component of the 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative, the Housing Commission is proposing to award federal sponsor-based housing vouchers with supportive services. Through a competitive NOFA, the Housing Commission will award 100 sponsor-based housing vouchers to nonprofit or for-profit organizations or sponsors that provide supportive services to homeless San Diegans. These vouchers, along with funds set aside from the pending sale of Hotel Metro to support case management and additional supportive services, will be used to ensure 100% of participants are assessed and have the opportunity to be connected with appropriate services and rental housing. The cost of this program component is $3.4 million and includes the value of the sponsor-based housing vouchers, which is not included in the staff recommended actions in this report. This program will include funds from the pending sale of Hotel Metro, which are included in the staff recommended actions. And now we can look at the funding for these programs. Proposed funding and uses approved by this action are not included in the Commission's FY 2016 budget. Contingent upon the availability of the identified funds, approving this action will authorize the Housing Commission to expend $3 million from the pending sale of Hotel Metro, $4 million from a city grant resulting from the ground lease of San Diego Square, and $250,000 from Housing Commission local funds in addition to the Commission's FY 2016 budget. It is important to note that the 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative was created with the community in mind. Because the proposed services are projected to impact hundreds of the city's homeless veterans, the Housing Commission has and will continue to solicit feedback and partnerships from businesses, associations, nonprofits, and community groups such as the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce, San Diego County Apartment Association, the California Apartment Association, and the Regional Continuum of Care to ensure the perspectives of interested stakeholders are adequately addressed. In closing, before you today are seven proposed action items related to the 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative. We are asking the Housing Commission to recommend that the Housing Authority and City Council amend the Housing Commission's FY 2016 budget to include additional sums of $3 million from the pending sale of Hotel Metro, $4 million from a city grant resulting from the ground lease of San Diego Square, and $250,000 from Housing Commission local funds. adopt resolutions authorizing the use of all funds from the pending sale of Hotel Metro and the ground lease of San Diego Square for the purposes referenced within this report, including funds within low-income lease revenue fund. Authorize the Housing Commission's expenditure of these funds as part of its FY 2016 budget, contingent upon the availability of funds and adoption of the resolutions by the City Council and the Housing Authority, as referenced in Action Item 2. Authorize the award of contracts to successful respondents to the open notice of funding availability by the President and CEO or designee without further actions of the City, Housing Authority, or Housing Commission Board of Commissioners. Authorize the President and CEO or designee to expend funds approved by this action to participating landlords as part of the collaborative landlord outreach component, or Housing Our Heroes. And to authorize the President and CEO or designee to execute all necessary documents and instruments that are necessary or appropriate to implement these approvals in a form approved by General Counsel. And authorize the President and CEO to substitute funding sources if necessary, including temporarily using other eligible funding sources until all other funds are available, without further action by the Council, Housing Authority, or Board of Commissioners. We appreciate this board's leadership and support for the San Diego Housing Commission's Housing First San Diego Homelessness Action Plan. The 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative advances Housing First San Diego and is important to addressing veteran homelessness in the city. And this concludes our report, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Commissioner Tessa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a commendable program, and I think you guys have done a good job in having the Housing Commission step up to a serious societal problem that we have here in San Diego. I understand that you guys have done some surveys of the landlords out there and our ability to be able to get landlord participation. Is that true?
A survey, not exactly, but we've certainly had stakeholder meetings, a number of stakeholder meetings with different associations, including the Apartment Association for the city, for the county, and other owners out there.
You've identified that, you know, there's a low occupancy rate out there right now, and that's very true. It's a tight market out there. How do we know that, given the program the way that you've proposed it, the incentives to the landlords, that we're going to be successful in being able to get landlord participation?
We have had those stakeholder meetings, and we have been very happy about the response we've received. Many commitments are coming our way, as well as knowing that we are adopting best practices that have worked in other communities.
My last question is, I think that a key part of this program is going to be being able to provide successful support services. As we know, there's people that out there that are homeless that have mental challenges, and, you know, any time that we start to incorporate them into the general population and in housing, there's the ability to be disruptive and to get landlords quickly to say, look, I don't want to touch that. And so do you feel comfortable that the support services that you guys have aligned in this program is going to be on top of that?
We are, in that we are adding to an existing resource. These things are out there now, just not nearly in the amounts that are needed. And so they are working, and we are confident that they will continue to work.
Mr. Gentry?
Just a couple of other comments for the board and Mr. Tassin. One reason that the mayor's office is involved in this as well is to use his position as a bully pulpit to reach out to the business community to get participation. I don't believe that's ever been done before here. And I think that's a worthy effort, and we've already heard from some landlords that it's gotten their attention. We also take the notion that the private sector should not be in the business of losing money to meet a social goal set by government, and that it's part of our role as government to reduce the risk of the private sector in a reasonable fashion, so to help to ensure that an endeavor will work. And I think if you look at the financial incentives for the landlord community here, all the way from higher rents to enhanced security deposits, as Ms. Peterman mentioned, I think that will help get involvement and reduce the risk of the business risk for the private sector getting involved. This is a new approach by us, and I think it shows a lot of courage on the part of the Housing Commission. And I think that what we're going to do this year is make it work. And if we need to come back to you with other incentives later, we'll do so. But we believe that this will work, and this is something we've never tried before. You know, we've dealt with individual properties, individual programs, but we've not done something on this scale before. And I think that the way that staff have put this together is does lend itself to the high likelihood of success over the next year. I would also point out, and Frank, in reaction to another one of your comments where you're spot on correct, we believe in housing first, but not housing only. And this particular customer base have issues that our typical low-income customer base would deal with, do not have at least to the same extent or severity. That's one reason we're adding staff called housing navigators to help people negotiate a marketplace and to find housing. Typically for our non-homeless customer base, by the time they've been waiting 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years to get a voucher, they're going to make it work, and it occurs very quickly. This population is different. So part of this effort is to provide counselors, if you will, housing navigators to help them locate a place, and then to provide financial incentives to encourage the private marketplace to get involved and utilize the mayor's office to generate that as well. I'll also point out that on each of these, for the 300 vouchers that are VASH vouchers, the VA does provide those kinds of wraparound services. For the 100 vouchers that we're providing, those won't be given directly to customers. They'll be through an intermediary, through a nonprofit that will provide those kinds of wraparound services, and they are out there. And then for the 600 that are in a rapid rehousing mode, their services needs should be much less severe. So we think this is going to work. I think staff has put it together in a very good fashion. If we need to make adjustments going forward, we will bring those to you.
Commissioner Moraga?
I'd like to echo Commissioner Tassin's comments. Congratulations. This is a fantastic program. I just have one quick question on action item 7. Should you need to substitute funding, has that been identified, and what source would that be?
Would come out of local funds. I think, I don't know if Tracy's here to say exactly which source, but she had identified about $1.5 million that we could substitute should it be needed.
Hello. We have about $1.5 million available in some local bond proceeds that we can substitute if necessary. So we're set up to substitute the funds if we need to. That is correct.
Excuse me. What impact would it have on additional staffing, or do you have staffing currently that could accommodate the additional services?
In April, we'll be bringing to you our proposed FY17 budget, and there you will find that we are requesting 6 staff for the course of this program. They will not be permanent full-time employees, but they will be brought on to help us through this program.
Commissioner Spohn?
The budget numbers for the vouchers are for what time period? Are they for 1 year, 3 years?
The voucher totals are over the 2-year period.
Mm-hmm. Does this program just dissolve?
The vouchers, no. Many of those will be VASH vouchers, which the veteran will have as long as they need it, and the sponsor-based vouchers will continue with that sponsor. Tenants may have graduated out of the program, but the vouchers will remain with that sponsor to continue assisting others.
Okay. Well, through a combination of active duty service and reserves, I've got 35 years as a veteran. And I've, over the years, I've had a chance to know a lot of veterans who have long-term impacts, physical, mental, emotional, as a result of their service. And, amongst the homeless, amongst the veteran homeless, they've got all the reasons that every other homeless person might have in terms of why they are homeless. But they have that compounded by real life experiences based upon their service. And so I'm very much in favor of this project, of this program, and want to see at the end of the 2 years that we have cycled some people through and they're back on their feet and no longer in need of the service. All that. So, thank you. Is there a motion?
Move approval and ask that staff report back to us. There's a great deal of interest on the part of the commission here in this program. It's innovative. It's new. I'd like to have regular updates on how things are going there.
Okay. The motion has been made by Commissioner Tassin. It has been seconded by Commissioner Surdy, and I agree. I know that we're going to get periodic reports on this. Don't make it too far apart, but, you know, when we've actually begun to get it in movement here. Okay, any other comments? If not, I'll call the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Item 104 is a fairly easy one because it really doesn't call for a presentation. It doesn't really call for a vote. I get to apply a heavy hand. Last month and on January 15th, we didn't complete all of our board assignments to committees that we have. Specifically, we appointed Commissioner Davis to be the chair of the investment committee, but I didn't appoint a second member of the board. I'm going to appoint myself to be the second member under the committee chair, Davis. And as to the strategic planning committee, we appointed Commissioner Moraga to be the chair again because he's been doing an outstanding job in that capacity. My concern last month was that we had a number of people who asked also to be on that committee, and I wanted to talk with our council to make sure that we were acting within state laws and appointing more than three members of the board to that committee. And council says that we're fine, that I'm not going to find myself in jail, so... on that basis, appointing Commissioner Spoon, Commissioner Tassin, Commissioner Hubbard, as well as myself, to work under the committee chair, Commissioner Moraga, to that committee. Now we've handled item 104. We'll move to 105. Strategic Plan Update Workshop.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeff Davis, Chief Operating Officer. With me is Debbie Ruane, Senior Vice President of Real Estate. We're here today to present a Strategic Plan Progress Report. We are 18 months into our two-year plan and are pleased at our progress and hope that you will be too. We last came before you in April 2015. Please note that we will not be reporting out on accomplishments since then. We will only be reporting out on accomplishments since April 2015. We'll be coming back to you in July to give our final report, which will be a comprehensive overview of the accomplishments of the plan. I'd like to note that this presentation has been reviewed by Commissioner Moraga, the chair of the Strategic Plan Subcommittee, and we have incorporated his comments into the information we're about to share. By way of reminder, the three major strategic goals of our 2014 through 2016 plan are create and preserve quality, affordable housing, provide housing choice voucher families with opportunities for them to become more financially self-reliant, and foster a culture of excellence and innovation. We are now at a strategic plan completion percentage of 74%. There were 100 projects and tasks associated with this plan, and 134 of them are complete, 47 are in progress. To begin our review of the accomplishments achieved since April 2015, I'll turn it over to Debbie, and she'll walk you through Goal A.
Good morning, Commissioners. Our first strategic goal is create and preserve quality affordable housing. Our role has been defined as lead the housing first model in the City of San Diego by identifying key partnerships and mobilizing resources to create these housing opportunities for homeless and at-risk of homelessness in San Diego, and to champion change and innovation to bring additional resources to San Diego. Our first strategic goal defines our leadership role and the three-year strategic homelessness action plan is also called Housing First San Diego, and it was developed to help us do this. I'm off pages seven. Let me go back a page. Since our last board update, we've continued with our Housing First San Diego initiative. This is a groundbreaking initiative you heard of earlier, and it brings together affordable housing with supportive services to take strides toward the goal of ending homelessness. A five-point action plan was launched on November 12th and includes the development funds available of $30 million for the next 3 years. This, so far we have awarded $8,250,000, and we have committed 1,500 Federal Reserve Assistance vouchers. To date, 67 of those have been awarded. We're also well into the renovation of the historic Hotel Churchill, which began in May 2015 and is scheduled for completion in the summer of 2016. This will create 72 affordable units for homeless veterans and former foster youth. And we acquired Village North Senior Garden Apartments in April 2015, a 120-unit affordable housing development for low-income seniors. Of these units, we set aside 24 as permanent supportive housing. And through the Housing First San Diego model, we dedicated 25 of our own units for the homeless. This helps us fulfill a program objective, which is to provide a stabilization opportunity that leads to long-term housing for individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Thus far, we've housed 132 persons, including 85 children and 12 veterans. We're also extremely proud of the fact that six families have successfully graduated from our program, meaning they've secured permanent unsubsidized housing. Most families' individuals stayed in their housing commission unit, paying market rent now, while others have relocated to areas that were affordable for their household income. Some other examples of our efforts under this category include the provision of security deposits, application fees, utility deposits, and utility arrears assistance to 162 homeless veterans. In January of this year, we acquired the New Palace Hotel, adding an additional 79 units with project-based voucher units for low-income seniors to our portfolio. And Alpha Square held its grand opening on November 18th, which included $6.2 million in state multifamily housing bonds and 135 vouchers for the homeless. We also increased our advocacy for legislation and policies that create or preserve affordable housing. A huge success included the successful negotiation with HUD over our move to work status. The end result providing the Housing Commission with 10 additional years of move to work flexibilities, ensuring that our innovation and innovative approaches can continue. We're also working on proposals to change the single room occupancy ordinance, and we completed and released the Housing Affordability Cost Construction Report, which is receiving great reviews and has resulted in requests for the Housing Commission to present to the State Senate Transportation and Housing Committee in Sacramento, the California League of Cities in March, and California Forward in April. We also analyzed our multifamily and single-family loan portfolios in an effort to ensure we're operating efficiently and providing excellent service for our clients. We designed the Clean and Green program, which will help bring energy efficiency, solar, and water-saving technology to low-income households in San Diego. We injected $5 million into our real estate portfolio to ensure its long-term sustainability, and we implemented enhanced property inspection protocol to include suggestions from our tax credit asset management consultant, and a positive result, all inspection scores have exceeded 91. Now I'll turn it back to Jeff.
Our second goal is to provide Housing Choice Voucher families with opportunities to become more self-reliant. Our Workforce and Economic Development Department has worked with community partners as well as other Housing Commission departments to make strong progress towards this goal. Rental assistance and Workforce and Economic Development staff are working collaboratively as one department to assist families more holistically so that all staff are able to provide support and referrals towards workforce readiness. A cross-training curriculum to educate RAD and WED staff, rental assistance and workforce and economic staff, about each other's programs and assist family opportunities has been designed and will be implemented shortly. An outreach plan was developed in order to help San Diego Housing Commission to get the word out about the opportunities offered at the Academy. This effort included surveying participants, creating mailers, and creating video. The outreach has shown strong success with participation at the Academy increasing by 43%. A few more accomplishments include a week-long workshop that's now being offered in the Achievement Academy to prepare participants who are entering the workforce. The training course includes resume writing, interview skills, and computer skills, and we've had 47 participants since July. We have recently implemented a Jumpstart Your Career program, which targets young adults. We've had 160 already participate in the program. 51 of them were placed in new jobs with an average starting wage of $9.96 an hour. Placements include paid internships with companies such as Qualcomm, SeaWorld, FarmWorks, and the American Red Cross. Additionally, 86 participants have enrolled in college or vocational training. As you know, Path to Success is designed to encourage the self-sufficiency of our participants and better use of federal funds so that more families can be assisted through our programs and properties. This program has now been implemented in all of our public housing sites. The Rental Assistance Department conducted a survey of rental assistance families to determine the level of customer satisfaction. 80% of our overall response rated our customer service as good, very good, or excellent. And the Housing Commission partnered with SANDAG to increase employment opportunities for clients with employers along lines of major transit. SANDAG provided information on employers by zip code within 30 minutes of transit lines. And outreach to these employers is now being conducted with targeted recruitments for our clients as the result. And back to Debbie.
Our third and final strategic goal is foster a culture of excellence and innovation. In order to assist the agency in accomplishing its goals, our IT department has completed several projects to enhance our infrastructure and technology platform. Moving our email to the cloud allows anywhere, anytime access for staff, and a best practice and retention policy ensures we're in compliance. Disaster recovery, backup servers, and Housing Commission networks are being redesigned in phases to enhance security and provide the ability to get up and running as quickly as possible in the event of a disaster. You've heard just a few weeks ago, the Housing Commission coordinated the 10th annual Project Homeless Connect, a one-day resource fair for over 1,215 homeless individuals with over 300 volunteers and 70 service providers. It was a huge success and brought the community together to provide service and resources. With the help of our IT department, our homeless department, as well as dozens of volunteers, we were able to streamline the intake process, reducing intake time, and we used a new dashboard tool that allowed real-time data on the demographics of the individuals who participated. This graphic is just one example of how sophisticated the tool is, which showcases the data we captured. The San Diego Foundation Fund was created to allow the Housing Commission to accept private donations to help fund our programs. This is an exciting milestone. And it has few restrictions on the funds, and we have the potential to greatly enhance the services we provide to our families. While we've reported on the implementation of the JOC contract performance in the past, we wanted to provide you with an update on the program and let you know that we have seen a 65% reduction in construction contract processing time, which is huge. And we met with 26 organizations in an effort to research best practices amongst other public housing authorities, nonprofits, governmental agencies, and consultants. The recommendations and takeaways that have been implemented include a joint family self-sufficiency program coordinating committee, partnership with SANDAG for ride-to-work connections, which identified major industries and employers along a 30-minute public transportation commute, and the redesign of the microenterprise program, which offers one-on-one counseling with group meetings for participants instead of just classroom training. We also implemented a new quality assurance and quality check process for inspections to maximize the integrity of the Housing Choice Voucher inspections and caseload optimization. We installed new help desk software to streamline the IT assistance process for staff and the IT department, as well as to provide a mechanism for tracking service response times. And a new loan servicing section was added to the Housing Commission's website, which will improve customer service to borrowers, as well as provide answers to common questions, reducing the number of calls to our servicers. And lastly, the process to pay, procure-to-pay process was examined. Kaizen sessions were held, and these have resulted in the following improvements. Mistake-proof solicitation and contract administration processes, which was accomplished through a pre-solicitation checklist. Improvement of the quality of incoming solicitation requests and vendor completion of solicitation documents. And reduction in the size of solicitation documents without compromising the integrity of the process. The direct result has been a 23 and 39% reduction in the formal and informal solicitation lead times. And with that, I turn it back to Jeff.
So in the next few months, 4 months to be exact, there are 26 remaining and complete projects that we are confident will be accomplished, and we look forward to sharing those accomplishments with you in July. We wanted to provide this visual to the board illustrating how collaborative these successes within our agency have been. This chart depicts in progress strategic projects for which a department needs another's resources for collaboration. The initiating department is shown in the first column on the left, going across the top are the departments where resources are required in order to help achieve the department's goals. On behalf of the executive team, I want to thank and congratulate the Housing Commission's amazing staff for their collaborative spirit and the accomplishments presented to you today. Lastly, we wanted to share a high-level draft timeline for the next strategic plan. Some of the dates to note today include the conferring with the Housing Commission's Strategic Planning Committee, beginning next month, wherein we will obtain the direction of the board for the goals and objectives for which we are to plan. These Strategic Plan Committee meetings, as well as other stakeholder meetings, will continue throughout the process. On July 29th, we will be providing the board with a wrap-up presentation of our current two-year plan, and then our goal is to present a new plan to you in September for an October effective date. And our goal is that this new plan will take us up to 2020. We sincerely thank you for your guidance and for your support throughout this plan and for allowing us to share all these accomplishments with you this morning. Our leadership team is here to hear your comments and answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I applaud the staff for the accomplishments that you've done here and keeping us on track of the strategic plan that we have. I was expecting to hear something along the lines of what we've continued to do in leading the discussion of government requirements, which continues to drive the price of housing up. I know I sound one-dimensional. I know I continue to bring this up, but it's something that's important to me. What have we done on that front?
Commissioner Urtasun, we are working very hard on that. It was mentioned, but probably not punched enough. Our report has been released, and it's a beautiful book that Maria Velasquez and the Communications Department created for us. We've had 100 copies printed. They've all been disseminated, including to the city council members, the coalition members, and various people in the state. We've run out of copies and are ordering another 100. And we found that the book has been handed to other people, and we're getting calls from those people. We are going to be in Sacramento in March before the Senate Transportation and Housing Committee meeting, where we'll have an audience of 11 senators and a group of very interested people who want to help us with any bills or initiatives that we want to process. We'll also be before the California League of Cities, making the presentation to other cities so they can see how they can adopt this and help us tackle the state and federal issues. And we're also moving forward with California Forward, which is another group, and they are excited about it, actually want to help us get meetings with the controller, the treasurer, and the governor. So the report has got serious legs. It's getting very great recognition, and we see some positive movement. Our next step is to meet with our city members here because 8 of the 11 initiatives were based on city issues, and the informal conversations have been very supportive, and they're moving on many of the initiatives that we've proposed to them.
I know Mr. Gentry wants to talk, but before he does, when I met with Councilman Sherman last week, his senior or his designated staff housing staff member was also in that meeting, and both the councilman and that staff member were very familiar with that report already and found it encouraging that we were trying to do something in the area and expressed support for those efforts.
I think it's important. You know, we looked earlier today with the Via Encantada project. You know, I think it was at $420,000 a door. I mean, these are for us that have developed properties, you know, we are going to be subject to criticism unless we take a very proactive stand out there and call it for what it is, and I think we've done a great job of that, but we have to continue to press that message out there.
Absolutely. But we also need to make sure that we identify some of the components in that cost that really only the city or our organization can do anything about. That project included $897,000 for soils remediation because it was an old MTS bus site. So we run into that, and that's really not something that, in my estimation, the private developer that we work with can anticipate or necessarily get punished for in terms of his cost allocation. We have the same thing down here at COM21. Huge remediation there on it. Mr. Gentry?
Just a couple of observations. We also, as the board may remember, made a major presentation on this report to the city's Smart Growth Committee on December the 1st of last year. Seems like light years ago now, but it's really not. And I'll point out that of the 11 first items that we identified here for attention, 8 were in City Hall. Every one of those basically above my pay grade, meaning and out of the area of responsibility for this commission as well. The city council members on that committee with Councilmember Zapp, that's chair, promised that they would do follow-ups from the appropriate departments at City Hall on those eight items. It's heavily development services. So, and there were staff members there from DSD as well as from planning as well as from the mayor's office who promised that they would follow up. So in a lot of this, I think our proper role is one of raising the issue, identifying it, pointing a finger, and then continuing a gadfly on it. And I think we are doing that here. The one big one, however, that's not at City Hall is in Sacramento. That has to do with the high cost of tax credit developed units. And we're continuing to develop information here. We will have some reports to you all next month that will differentiate between what we're able to purchase as the as Ms. I'm forgetting her name now, the speaker very, very early in the program, who talked about it's much cheaper to buy something already existing than to build something. Of course it is. And where we can, we do. And I'll point out to you in our report on homelessness, we purchased the Belden North property late last year, 130 units for $15 million. Even my math tells me that's just over $100K a door. So, and that's where, in this report that we'll have to you next month, will differentiate not only by program type, but show also a trend over the past 10 to 15 years on how that has developed. So the issues are structural. They are out of our control. But we're going to do our best to be that gadfly, both in Sacramento and down the street here, to point out what can change. As Debbie indicated, we're getting a lot of attention from this report, and we intend to play that out to the max, including maybe inviting some of the board members to go to us on occasion, if that is appropriate with their policymakers. I've concluded that we probably are going to need to get to the electeds in Sacramento to make a real difference here. Otherwise, it ain't going to happen. But I think we've got a real good chance of doing that. I'll also, one more, Mr. Chairman, if you could, and then I'll try to stop talking. This issue, as well as our expanded effort in the homelessness arena, is a direct result of this board and the strategic planning effort that was kicked off some 2 years ago. So this gives me immense help as the CEO in knowing where the board's interest is, what you want to see accomplished, and how that fits back into the community. You are the agency. We're the hired help. And so this strategic plan ongoing is of immense help to me. And I want to thank you all for engaging in it as you have. And seeing it ongoing gives me great heart. Thank you.
Thank you. Great job. Just as they're getting ready to move on to, and we'll get ready for the next workshop, what Mr. Gentry was talking about in terms of needing to get to our elected leaders, I was at a meeting last evening where it was reported that the governor is working to impose new water restrictions on residential water restrictions, and is if he's successful in getting certain laws passed, there will be required additional information in the sales process and the escrow process that will have to be submitted in identifying where there are, by this proposed legislation, water use abuses before the escrow closes. All that. So more on that as we follow. Item 106, a workshop on the Moving to Work annual plan. Mr. Davis, you look familiar.
Yes. You getting sick of me yet? Good morning, Commissioners. Jeff Davis, Chief Operating Officer. With me is Suket Dayal, Senior Director of Strategy. And importantly, behind us is Jessica Adamo, the Project Manager for MTW. Jessica, raise your hand, please. We are here to provide you an important update, not an important update, just an update on our MTW program and seek your comments on two new initiatives we'd like to propose for our FY17 Moving to Work annual plan. MTW allows participating public housing authorities to waive certain federal regulations to design and test innovative, locally designed strategies that meet three of HUD's statutory requirements. utilize federal dollars more efficiently, help residents find employment and become self-reliant, and increase housing choices for low-income families. Currently, out of the 3,400 public housing authorities in the nation, there are only 39 designated as moving to work agencies. Our current MTW contract with HUD is set to expire in 2018. However, as you are aware, for the past year and a half, Mr. Gentry has been part of a leadership team charged with negotiating the terms of moving to work contract extensions with HUD. After protracted and frustrating negotiations with HUD in December, due entirely to the efforts of that team, the approval of the Fiscal 2016 HUD Appropriations Act extended all current MTW agreements until the end of the agency's fiscal year 2028. This was a huge win for MTW agencies and particularly for the Housing Commission. Locally, we have branded our MTW program as Moving Forward. And this captures the essence of what we have done with our designation. So we wanted to spend a few minutes sharing just a few highlights that show how we have integrated MTW across our agency and maximized the flexibility that it gives us. In our Housing Choice Voucher program, we have implemented many initiatives that have streamlined processes and increased housing choices and self-sufficiency for our families. Probably the most substantial application of MTW is displayed in our unique rent reform initiative, Path to Success. We modified the way a work-able family's rent is calculated in order to encourage employment and work readiness, skill building. We also used our flexibility to establish our Achievement Academy, a state-of-the-art learning and resource center with programs that emphasize career planning, job skills, and financial education. MTW flexibility has also played a vital role in increasing and preserving affordable housing stock in San Diego. Just a few highlights include the rehabilitation of the Hotel Churchill, which will provide 72 units for homeless veterans, youth aging out of foster care, and adults exiting the correction system. $9.2 million in MTW funds, largely savings due to Path to Success, were invested in this project. MTW funds were also used to purchase the Village North Senior Garden Apartments in Claremont Mesa, providing 120 affordable units to low-income and homeless seniors. In our FY 2016 MTW plan that Suket's going to walk through in just a moment, we are seeking your approval to commit $12 million in MTW funds for activities to preserve our own affordable housing projects. A green physical needs assessment of SDHC-owned developments identified capital repairs necessary to preserve our properties, and Path to Success savings will allow us to tackle these improvements in a very large way. Perhaps nowhere has our MTW flexibility had more impact than in the area of addressing the issue of homelessness in our city. We have used our flexibility to expand the use of our project-based vouchers to support the development of new tools to address homelessness, perhaps best displayed at Connections Housing, where we committed 76 project-based vouchers. We also created the Housing Commission's sponsor-based voucher program, and this provides permanent housing solutions to homeless individuals by working in partnership with sponsors to combine comprehensive supportive services with MTW housing subsidies. And again, Project 25 is probably the best example of how successful this partnership has been. Another innovative solution is our transitional-based housing subsidies for the homeless, where we partner with agencies, use MTW rental subsidies, and pair them with supportive services. We are currently in partnership with PATH, Episcopal Community Services, and Senior Community Center on this project or this program. And with that, I will turn it over to Suket to provide an update on two exciting new initiatives we are currently working on, as well as share with you two new initiative ideas for our next MTW plan that we seek your feedback on.
Thank you, Jeff, and good morning. Debbie talked about Housing First San Diego the first year. Two of the initiatives that I wanted to provide an update on were part of our last year's MTW annual plan, and they're part of the second year of Housing First San Diego. The first one is a great partnership with the Monarch School. The Monarch School, which serves our homeless students and helps them provide some skills to overcome the barriers. We've used our flexibility to develop a unique program with them. We're going to provide a housing subsidy for 25 of their families. Now, our assistance will enhance the solution and provide a real holistic approach to these families. Additionally, the parents will engage in the Achievement Academy and work on their work readiness and receive work readiness services. This program has been implemented on January 1st, 2016, and we're currently reviewing the files and should be housing families soon. Another great partnership is our Guardian Scholars Program, and that's with the San Diego State University. The Guardian Scholars Program helps students that are exiting foster care under legal guardianship or unaccompanied homeless youth. SDSU provides ongoing services like academic advising, tutoring, skills assessment, and links them to the critical services that they need. Our partnership will assist in providing a housing cost for these students and help them focus on what's really important, their education. This program is set to start on August the 1st, and we're currently finalizing the process, the program requirements, and operating the operation part of it. And again, thanks to Commissioner Moraga for being very instrumental in this partnership. So as Jeff mentioned, we continue to use our flexibility to address the issue of homelessness in our city. And for this plan, this year's plan, we have two initiatives. We'd like to update some of the flexibilities in our sponsor-based subsidy program that Jeff talked about, and also a very exciting Moving On program, which I'm going to share some information on. So the sponsor-based subsidy program links up services and housing. It's the perfect match of people that need services but don't have the housing. With our partnership, we're able to provide a housing assistance to many of these individuals. We wanted to, based on what we see as the arena of homelessness, we wanted to expand some of our flexibilities and streamline some of the processes. The expansion includes serving other victims of homelessness, victims of human trafficking, or persons that require assisted living. We also wanted to simplify the rent calculation on this, so we wanted to streamline the process. A lot of the administrative part is done by our partners. By streamlining the rent calculation, it makes it easier for them and simplifies the process for our families as well. Some of the other flexibilities we're clarifying are using this program to serve families as well as individuals, using this program to fund units as well as beds. This program has been very successful for us, and it's a perfect segue into our next initiative, which is the Moving On initiative. The Moving On initiative will provide a rental assistance to 25 formerly homeless individuals transitioning out of permanent supportive housing. I think this initiative is better explained by a very simple example. So we have a partner who's providing a sponsor-based subsidy to our homeless individual. Now, at the start of the program, this individual requires a very high level of intensive care services. Over time, the level of services decrease, and the person gets more and more independent. It comes to a point where the person can actually be connected to other services in the community. But the reason why that transition doesn't happen is because there's no housing subsidy that's attached to it. That's where this program comes in. The Moving On program will help us continue to provide the housing subsidy and create a flow in the system. Now, once that individual moves on, is connected to service providers, that then opens up a spot that can be taken by another chronic individual. So this flow will help us transition off individuals that do not require the high level of services and make room for another individual that does require the intense case management services. And that concludes our presentation, and we look forward to your comments.
Commissioners, any comments, any questions? Commissioner Tassel?
You know, it's impressive, and I think that we're the model nationally in this program, and I appreciate that you continue to look for ways to improve the performance of the program. So I just want to commend you for that.
Thank you.
And I echo that. I don't ever anticipate that the total number of clients that we have will go down, but their faces will change as your success continues, because we'll be helping more of them to get through. The waiting list will, you know, as much as I'd love to see the waiting list go down, that's not going to happen. But at least, again, maybe we'll reduce multi-generational clientele. Thank you. Commissioner Spoon?
And that Moving On program is just outstanding. I mean, it truly is a way to leverage the housing inventory that we already have. You know, if we can move them out more quickly, certainly more units will be available. So I'm very impressed with that.
Thank you.
Mr. Gentry?
And let me just point out the obvious. This reflects a lot of great work by first-class staff here. So the board should feel a lot of comfort in the people we have here sitting in this room and out in the field. It's the best bunch I've ever worked with, and this is an indication of great work, both by you all setting policy and staff listening and devising and adapting our programs to fit what San Diego needs.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
At this moment, we've completed our public agenda, and the public portion of the meeting will be adjourned.